Well, folks, I'm here with Harry Stryker from Stryker's World. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning. How you doing, Kelly?
Good. Good to have you back on the show. And how are things?
Things are awesome. Not particularly overwhelmingly happy with the direction that our country is taking right now, but what are we going to do? We have to either change it or live with it, right?
Right. Now, where is Stryker's World?
Stryker Shooting World is at 415B South Valley Drive, just about the corner of Amador and Valley.
And what can you find there?
We have an indoor shooting range, in fact, the only indoor shooting range in southern New Mexico. We have a wide selection of handguns, hunting rifles, ammunition, targets, accessories, that sort of thing for your shooting needs.
All right. And so what's business been like since, I don't know, since recently, I guess?
Well, one would think that business would have been very good, but business has been pretty much status quo, actually a little slower than last year. So I'm not quite too sure why, when you have a presidential candidate that has said, "I will take your guns away, you don't need one," you don't have more people trying to purchase them ahead of the possibility her being the next leader of this country.
Well, you know, and I'm thinking of the situations where we keep seeing that there are terrorists that show up, and I'll just use for one example, the guy in Germany, you know, they don't have much Redstone weapons in Germany, and that you've got this guy who's been inside this mall and he shot people and he comes out and he just starts picking people off the sidewalk. That is a time when you want someone who's a law-abiding citizen to have a concealed carry and pull it out and just blast them.
You know, you're absolutely right. One of the saddest commentaries to me from Orlando, where 350 people are in a nightclub, one man with one gun overtakes 350 people. Did no one have the courage or the conviction to jump this guy while he was reloaded?
I always wonder about this stuff. It's like, you know, and it's like I sometimes see videos of these Jewish people in World War II that are just, you know, groups of people that are just let out to a field and they just start shooting them one by one. Why didn't those people suddenly disperse? Or, you know, so sometimes we act like sitting ducks.
You know, Kelly, they're actually it's a almost, I don't want to say cultural, but a brainwashing that happens to children in school nowadays, where they're taught not to resist. They have videos of shooters being inside schoolrooms where the kids have their heads down on the table waiting to be shot. Roseburg, Oregon, where the people are laying on the floor. One person again, and he's asking them, "You a Christian or are you a Muslim?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, so he shoots the Christians and shoots the Muslims. However, his back is to somebody at some point. Get up and do something.
What kind of training would you think would be recommended for these? You know, if we're going to raise up a generation of people who can defend themselves like the founders did, what would you think?
I just think that people need to be made aware that there is evil in this world. There are people who are not mentally balanced, that get some kind of pleasure or feel that they are serving a purpose by going in and attacking innocent people.
We do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. This is Jim. How are you this morning?
Good, Jim. How have you been? Glad to hear your voice and what's going on.
Well, Kelly, I guess I'll be the first one, I guess, to call in this morning and make a comment. Boy, I tell you, that's the greatest thing that Mr. Stryker could do, is to allow us to use that indoor range of his. Not only do they, I'm going to put a plug in for him, not only do they have that availability, but they also offer classes for concealed carry, and I just thought I'd throw that in. But my comment is this. We are, as concealed carry owners, forbidden to carry a weapon into a venue, such as maybe a post office where they had recent shootings of some time ago. We cannot carry them into a nightclub, which is, if you're not drinking, that would be up to the concealed carry person to not do that. But these areas that they go to are areas they know are gun-free zones. Even the universities, you cannot carry there. You cannot carry in certain areas. So the areas where they're going to are exactly the areas that were forbidden to carry.
Yeah, you're right, Jim, and thank you for the plug. Yes, we call those target-rich environments. Probably one of the classic cartoons I've ever seen is two guys walking up to a school carrying rifles. There's a no-gun sign, and they look at each other and go, well, now what do we do? Yeah, sure, right? That no-gun sign really stops them. But you're absolutely right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
We did have that. The church that we attend back a year or two ago had a sign on the door, no concealed weapons allowed of any kind. And we stopped going to that church. I happened to go back one Sunday, and lo and behold, the sign was gone.
Yeah.
And it wasn't gone because it was torn down. I believe somebody there removed it, probably due to the situation to know that churches were also targets in gun-free zones. So, I almost feel silly doing this or evil, but I carry now in the church, and we sit to the rear. Hopefully we'll never have to do that, but being a responsible gun owner, you cannot go into any of these gun-free zone environments nilly-willy in your mind. You have to go prepared that today something's going to happen, and your mind needs to be set for that. In other words, like military, when you're trained, you don't go to battle thinking, gee, I think maybe I'm just going to sit back and relax today. Your mind is prepared. The enemy is going to attack you, and you need to be able to attack back.
All right, Jim, good point. Thanks for the call. Have a nice weekend. All right, folks, we'll take a little break here. We got Harry Stryker from Stryker's World. And if you don't know anything about guns, go down there and start a conversation. What days are you in the shop?
Myself, I'm there Monday through Friday, 10 to 6.
All right, so if people ask for you to, you have never been there before, you'll give them a little tour. And
sure, we can do that, or my staff is awesome. They can. If I'm not there, they are very knowledgeable and very, very welcoming.
All right, so anyway, I've got some weather coming up here for you. There have been some mudslides. There has been flooding, as I had mentioned yesterday. And we're talking about Iowa. We're talking about places that are getting basically 15 inches of rain overnight. So it's just incredible how many floods there have been in various parts of the country, and it's not just Houston anymore. But here's a little bit, and then we'll go immediately into our local weather. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450. Be right back.
Northern Iowa, second night of heavy rain has pushed rivers out of their banks and forced people out of their homes in Greene and Clarksville. A levee on the Shell Rock River has already failed. Authorities in Iowa are bracing for what could be record-breaking high water. They said it could be the worst since 2008, when floods on the Cedar River displaced thousands of people. In Wisconsin, the governor declared a state of emergency after 10 inches of rain fell and caused mudslides that killed one man when his home was swept onto a highway. And in Minnesota, a foot of rain fell in Waseca County, closing multiple roads and highways. Now, more rain is expected this weekend, which could worsen these floods.
I'm always waiting for it to hit here, but I never know. Hey, it's Kelly.
Kelly, this is the Kathy, and I was hoping you and Mr. Stryker might speak of the open carry law, because it appears the man in North Carolina, South Carolina, was openly carrying a gun, which is legal to, you don't have to have a permit to strap on a gun belt and walk around with a gun showing on your hip in New Mexico or in North Carolina, South Carolina. So, you know, the cops are saying, oh, he had a gun. Well, he might have legally had that gun on him if it's an open carry state like New Mexico. So maybe I was hoping you guys might discuss the difference between, of course, concealed carry and open carry. You don't have to have a permit to open carry a gun in New Mexico.
Well, hold on. Let's bring this on the air so we can talk about it. How's it going?
I don't want to go on the air, Kelly.
Kathy, come on. The radio loves you.
No, they hate me. I would just like to hear him kind of explain it. And there are dangers if you're open carrying, obviously, because the man might have legally been carrying a gun. And now the cops are saying, well, he had a gun. Well, it might have been legal. Of course, if he stepped out of the car, gun in hand, I'd probably shoot him, too.
If he
stepped out of the car wearing a gun.
You know, it's like what we were talking about yesterday. You're not going to. As a cop, you're not going to let somebody step outside of a car with a gun in their hand and try to let them, you know,
right,
figure
absolutely
out what they're going to do with it. Hold on. We're just about on the air. Hold on a second. Don't be shy, Kathy.
Oh, Kelly.
Come on. All right. We've got the original Kathy. She heard the other Kathy and had to assert her identity. Kathy, yes. How's it going? Good morning. And so Kathy was wondering how this situation in North Carolina is affected by an open carry law. Go ahead, Kathy.
Well, it was my understanding that in that incident and in New Mexico, too, you have the right to open carry. I've got a gun, an old Western gun and holster I wear on my hip. I can walk anywhere with it, supposedly. I know it make a lot of cops nervous. You get out of a car with a gun on your hip. But it's still legal to open carry in New Mexico. And in that situation, I was just wondering, you know, they're saying he did not have a gun in his hand, but if he had a gun in the car and it was sitting out, or if he had one on his person and it was visible, it was legal. Just like it would be legal in New Mexico. Isn't that true?
Well, just one thing, Kathy. I thought they said he had a gun in his hand when he exited the car.
No, you know, just because they say it doesn't mean it's true. We haven't seen any video on that. They're showing a picture of him laying on the ground with a gun in his feet. So, you know, if he had a gun in his hand, I don't understand why they wouldn't be releasing a video, because it'd be justified. Some guy gets out of the car to meet a police officer that has stopped him and he has a gun in his hand. I think Officer Chavez in Hatch would maybe be alive if he would have been, you know, more aware of somebody having a gun in their hand in the car.
Right. Kathy, there's a clip from CNN, Charlotte police shooting, family says video unclear. So, anyway, I'm on the verge of taking a break, but your question or your point about open carry for New Mexico is what?
Isn't it legal in New Mexico to walk around with a gun and openly wear it? And if that's the case, are we now, because of the open carry law in New Mexico, you also could be putting your life in danger. If you have one sitting on the seat, openly sitting on the seat, that's legal too.
Harry,
and
you're right. Kathy, there is open carry in the state of New Mexico, and can have your firearm sitting on the seat of your car in the state of New Mexico. The caveat is as long as you are legally able to possess a firearm. Okay, so let's assume that the person carrying openly is legally able to possess it. You're asking for exactly what you said. The police are not going to like it. Who in their right mind would get out of their car with a gun on their side? I was pulled over for the first time in my life, of course, and the officer, he just asked me, do you have a firearm in the car? I had two. I said, yes, I have one in my pocket and I have one under the seat. Why do you ask? He said, just for officer safety. And all he said was, keep your hands where I can see them. That's the important thing, to keep your hands where you can see them. Once you start to argue and fight back with the officer, if I were an officer in these times, I'd be getting very nervous that someone doesn't want to answer, why don't you or do you have a gun in the car? Because especially in our area, this was recently right after Officer Chavez had been killed.
Kathy, I got to run because of the break, but thanks for the call. Sure. Great call. Have a good day. All right, folks, we've got to take a break here. We'll be right back. And I got Harry for the next hour. Okay, we'll be right back, folks. 656 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450, and 805-6180 on KOBE. All right. So anyway, we're through the first hour. All right. So I just want to throw this out to you, and I'm not saying that I even have an opinion on it, but the first lady that tried to get through the, and she may not have been a lady at all, but tried to get through the Ranger School, had passed the, you know, the test, the intellectual, verbal, whatever it was, but failed out of the boot camp part. Can women serve in the SEALs, in the Rangers, in the Green Beret? Should women be out carrying guns on the street? I don't know what your opinion is. I do, of course, I do have an opinion, but I think as long as somebody is trained, you know, as long as somebody doesn't have mental health issues, there's a lot of female cops out there. 6:59, Kelly O'Connell. We'll be back after a break on the hour with Harry Stryker. We're talking Second Amendment and how to protect yourself during these very dangerous times. We will be right back. 523-1450 and 805-6180 on KOBE, Kelly O'Connell Show. All right, so I have Harry Stryker here from Stryker's World. I'm looking for headlines that you might find of note. 500 million web users are hit by the biggest hack in history at Yahoo. Charlotte, 70% of those arrested for rioting have out-of-state IDs. George Soros has been paying people to riot since before Ferguson, and this has been this is a party that's been thrown by an outside group. So when you look and see what's going on out there, don't think it's just naturally occurring. This is artificial turf out there. Anyway, Harry, we were talking yesterday, and you brought up some facts that I found absolutely astounding. And I want to get into some stuff that we that you had mentioned to me that I had no idea. I was flabbergasted at some of the stuff that you were, informing me of. And folks, this is Harry Stryker, and he owns Stryker's World. It is a gun shop, but it's also a range. It's also a training center, and it's down on Valley. What's the address?
415.
And how about a phone number?
523-2424.
Okay, so you had mentioned a few facts about some of the crime statistics here. I have never heard any of these since I've been living here. You want to mention some of them?
Sure, Kelly. And anything, when I speak of crime statistics, are from the Department of Justice's website. I'm not making these numbers up. I'm not getting them off the internet by somebody who wanted to put on these crazy numbers. In 2014, the last year that they have statistics for, Las Cruces, if you looked up rape in Las Cruces, there would be none, zero. The reason for that is they don't classify this type of attack on a woman as a rape because we have no vice squad in the Las Cruces Police Department. It's classified as an aggravated assault. So aggravated assaults on women, 2014, 504. And also realize in New Mexico, we have the highest percentage of rapes that go unreported. 26% are unreported. So the number of rapes was certainly much higher than 504. This does not include 100 plus at the university here, NMSU. The total number of prosecutions of 600 plus rapes is zero. No one was prosecuted. That's disgusting and staggering to me. Why that happens, I can't tell you. However,
is it possible that they were prosecuted under another? And I don't know anything about this. I was just blown away when you said this. Is it possible they've been prosecuted under the title of another crime? I mean, I can't imagine that if there were 500 rapes, nobody gets prosecuted.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but it's only called aggravated assault in this county. There is no rape. There's no domestic. Well, there's of course domestic violence, but that isn't what rape falls under. You being an attorney, you certainly have a much better understanding of the laws and how they can be manipulated to make things go away. It is so bad on NMSU's campus, which no one wants to hear. They opened their own district attorney's office because they are their own little entity. So there are six women in their own district attorney's office, six women to try and get the situation under control. Your odds of being raped as a woman at NMSU over a 5-year period are 1 in 4. That's your odds of being raped at NMSU. So the violence is everywhere. Again, as we spoke, a gun-free zone. You're not allowed to carry a firearm on the campus at NMSU. If my daughter was going there, I would guarantee you she would be carrying a campus. Does that mean I advocate breaking the law? Absolutely not. That means I advocate being able to protect yourself. If my daughter weighed 100 pounds and a 280-pound guy came up to her, all the firearm does is equalize the difference between their size. So we also have in New Mexico the FBI's worst of the worst, I don't know what you'd call it, a campaign where they are trying to put people back in jail that have gotten out of jail for committing heinous crimes, aggravated assault, all kinds of things involving violence. And in the United States, New Mexico is the number one per capita now, per capita. Doesn't mean there's more crimes than Chicago has, but per capita, we are the highest. In Albuquerque is number one. Doñana County is number two for people that want to put back in jail who have gotten out for committing these kinds of crimes.
So what does that mean? Restate that.
Well, let's say a guy goes in for aggravated assault. Somehow or other, he ends up in jail. He gets 5 years, which of course means 2 years, which of course means time served. He could be back out as early as 6 months. But these people are not rehabilitated in prison. This is where they go to school. This is where they learn to be a smarter criminal. They all get together and go, man, you should have done this because then you'd be out. Well, so they're back out and they commit these crimes again. And this happens over and over and over. So we have the highest number per capita of that type of criminal on the streets in New Mexico. And if you don't think being a cop is dangerous in this city, this is from the police department. 80% of the people they stop on a traffic stop will either be a felon, will have a be a felon in possession of a firearm, which is against the law, will have outstanding warrants, etc. 80% of their traffic stops, Kelly. You wouldn't walk up to a car really cautiously. Now they come sometimes on the passenger side. They always come from right beside the car. They are being trained, of course, wisely, that you never know what's going to happen when someone rolls down the window on a car. Crazy here. Crazy.
Okay, so that makes us even more sympathetic to the police officers out there.
Well, yes, you can understand the position they're being put in, and now it's with this. I can't understand ever, no one will ever be able to make sense to me, of a black police officer shoots a black man, and so we go into our neighborhood and tear it down, because that accomplishes a lot. I don't understand what tearing down your own neighborhood accomplishes. If you will not believe me, but way more white people are killed by police officers over and over than black people are killed by police officers. If a black police officer shoots a white person, is it in the news? No. Do white people go out and tear down their neighborhood? No. What's the difference? Lives are lives. Why is it all of a sudden more important that people of color are getting shot by the police? And if you're a cop, what occupies 90% of the prisons, Kelly? Black and Hispanic people. Now, they'll say that's because you're racist and you're putting us in jail. Probably that's because you're committing the crimes. So
well,
All
right, so let me get into this a little bit here. Let's just say that there was more criminal activity in the black or the Hispanic population as opposed to white, as you're saying. Let's just say that. Let's assume that just for the sake of argument. What can we do to reduce crime across the board? And is a certain amount of this because, for example, there's people that are trapped in ghettos and they're growing up without parents, you know, without fathers. And so we're putting in them behind the eight ball from the very beginning, and then we're blaming them for crimes that are part of a larger sociological or psychological or what religious, whatever you want to call it, that being raised in an environment where it's more likely they'll come out thinking, having thoughts that are not in line with society. What do you think?
Well, I agree, Kelly. I am not a racist. I am not.
No, but I'm saying, what can we do?
Right. I agree. And that's the question that we ask our leaders, the political leaders that we elect to office, to answer. What can be done? We have tried for the country has tried for the last 60 years to provide a better environment for people. And I don't think anyone has that answer. I wish I did. I would give that answer to every city in the United States and say, let's help these people. Let's make them productive citizens. Let's get people off of the unemployment and welfare rolls. With all the millions of people that are out of work, think how great this country could be if we could put them all to work. And I agree, the environment that people are raised in certainly determines.
Well, I'm looking at the statistics that are associated with fatherless households, fatherless children, and the rate of criminal activity, but not just criminal activity, rate of mental health crises and interventions and institutionalization and drug use and the chances of being raped or abused as a child. All of this stuff is off the charts compared to a house with a father in it. And I think when you're looking at the black community, the number one thing to remember is almost 75% of kids are born in a house without a father there. And in addition, it's over 90% the chances of a child growing up in a fatherless home if they come out of that community. I mean, it seems like we're setting these kids up for failure.
Absolutely. The kids are set up for failure, but unfortunately, by their own fathers. They leave. What's going on with that?
Well, it's a community that has learned to survive outside the traditional, historic, since time immemorial, family unit, but the outcome's not good. So I think one way that we fight crime, believe it or not, is to get families back together. And, you know, it doesn't seem to me there's a lot of encouragement aside from the top down, from the political, mainstream media, Hollywood, social media. There's not a lot of support for two people coming together, having kids and staying together, which is, it strikes me as absurd because every child wants to know their real parents.
Oh, I agree. It's got to be horrifically traumatic to not know who your parents are, or to have been abandoned by your parents, because the child's mentality is, well, what did I do wrong? Even a child from divorce is, it must have been my fault. I didn't make you happy, or I did something wrong, which is very sad. And how do you reinstate, if you will, family values? I'm at a loss, Kelly.
I
wish I knew.
I kind of wonder if this is what the guy Os Guinness had called a sunset debate. We could be arguing over something that's just permanently broken. But anyway, we'll take a break here. We have Harry Stryker, Duke Ellington, Billy Strayhorn, Star-Crossed Lovers. We'll be right back. AM Las Cruces, 523-1450, 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back. If you have an answer to the problem, please call in. But the statistics that Harry Stryker has just informed us of, and I'm looking on the Department of Justice for confirmation right now on their website, but it's staggering. 719, we'll be right back. Okay, we're here with Harry Stryker, a special show on Second Amendment and crime. And Harry Stryker, who owns Stryker's World, it's a gun shop, it's a shooting range, it's a training center. It's out on Valley, basically Valley and Amador, the corner, a little bit off that. But Harry, let's just repeat some of these statistics again. This is a dangerous, much more dangerous. You know, we're told this is a retirement community. You're telling us that some of the statistics that inform us that it's more dangerous out there than we had any idea?
Well, Department of Justice statistics off of their reports. Aggravated assault is what you will find rape under in our community, because we don't classify rape. We classify it as aggravated assault against a woman. 500 plus in 2014, not including NMSU, 100 plus on the campus itself. And these crimes go basically unprosecuted. There's no, there hasn't been, you would think there would be at least 200 prosecutions or a certain percentage, but the prosecution rate, if anything, is negligible. I'm not saying that that means the police department, DA's office, and that sort of thing says, well, that's okay, it was just a crime against a woman. It just seems a little odd that those sort of things are not prosecuted.
All right, so I'm going to stand up and say, until I see these statistics, I've got to think that my buddies down at the DA's office and my friends that are cops are putting these prosecutions under a heading that maybe is not recognized. But I did find a law review article that came out of Washburn University that says there is a dire need for a reform of the statutes on rape. So there must be something to what you're saying.
Well, unfortunately, New Mexico has, by DOJ statistics, 26% of rapes go unreported in New Mexico. It's the highest in the United States.
Why would that be?
Actually, I have personal experience with a young lady who her mother told her, she was 19 years old, said, you need to be very situationally aware of what's going on around her. She had been in one of our classes, the mother had, and the young lady went to a Walmart in Texas at 2 a.m. in the morning. She was raped in the parking lot, and she was so embarrassed because of not listening to her mother, thing that happened to her, she refused to report it to the police department. She didn't want to deal with, unfortunately, what women have to deal with should they decide to report rape, that your entire sexual history is going to come up in front of a courtroom in public. A lot of women don't want to deal with that, and I can't blame them.
There has been a pushback against this for quite a while, that the victim is not to be prosecuted for being a slut or having a sexual history, and it's not the victim who's on trial; it's the perpetrator. But I mean, it's pretty obvious that. Pretty obvious that would be one of the hardest things that you could ever do, because one of the main aspects of sexual abuse, sexual molestation, sexual assault, rape, is the sense of shame that it carries in the victim's mind, that is really an argument against them going forward, an internal argument.
Oh, I agree. It would be horrible. I would not want to be interrogated by, cross-examined by anyone about my sexual history or about the way I dressed that night. Well, look what you were wearing. You must have been asking for it. Things like that happen they're wrong in my opinion. And I think in every woman who's ever been in that situation, it's wrong. It takes a lot of guts to stand up and say, yes, I'm going to prosecute these people. Unfortunately, as you may know, many, many cases of rape are by someone the victim knows. I mean, it's very common. It's by someone they know.
Yeah, and I mean, I've spent a lot of time, I have a lot of books on the phenomenon and the after effects of sexual molestation, and they're too tragic And that'll be another show sometime, but the tragedy but here is this thing. Your background is going to affect your criminal history, your ability to follow rules and respect authority and do what you're supposed to do is going to be greatly impacted by your childhood. What kind of authority you had in your life and how that authority treated you?
Yes, absolutely. I was raised, fortunately, in a, my mom and dad were there. They stayed married until they both passed away. But you had a great amount of fear and or respect for your father. And if he said, don't do something, you didn't do it.
Well, we've got this crazy idea out there that I think is only caused to be worse when we pretend that there's no such thing as gender or sex. It's a state of mind. It's not a reflection of your body parts and your inner workings. Science has repeatedly showed that men and women have different brain, similar or the same type of brain, human brain, but it operates differently in a woman and a man. You can have a man and a woman do two same tasks, and they'll use different parts of their brain. So, I think it is tragic to suggest that men and women are the same. Therefore, you just need one adult in the house. You don't need a daddy.
I agree. Especially in the case of young men. I think women that have a young woman who has a mother can certainly relate to that. A young man is going to feel like, well, how could she know? She's just my mom. She's just a woman. And I see her every day do these things that are not in the way that I think things should be done because I'm a man. You're right. We have different perspectives.
But
we use different parts of the brain.
There's a sense of authority, and there is a sense of really a sense of power, dignity, whatever you want to say, to the father that's different than the mother. The mother's more nurturing. The father's more of a lawgiver. And I just think it's terrible that we've encouraged the generations that are growing up now to say, if you want to go have a kid, in the black culture, they've largely turned their back on marriage. There's a significant minority of blacks that are married, but for a lot of the young ladies there, having a family means going and having kids, and it, no matter what is in your mind, the actual experience of growing up without a father, it creates a tragedy.
It creates a tragedy, and it creates, we're reaping the crop of what we've sown by by not being able to address this situation in any way that makes any sense. Now you see young men who are very, they're responding to this with violence is what they're doing.
Yeah, and I mean, you see it in the rap music, you see in the fixation on the most basic things, on money, sex, drugs, crime. That is the expression, in my opinion, of a rejected generation of people that are lashing out in the only way they know how. Got Harry Stryker. We're going to come back, and I'm going to ask him why he's so enthusiastic and adamant about Second Amendment, why he is calling this the age of the Second Amendment. 732 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450. And 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, KOBE. We're here with Harry Stryker. And Harry Stryker is, you're calling this the age of the Second Amendment. Why is that, Harry?
Well, Kelly, I don't think it's ever been as important or more important to exercise your Second Amendment right. You know what? If you don't want a gun, I'm all for that. If you decide I'm not going to use that type of instrument to protect myself, but at least have some way to protect yourself. How about that poor guy in Charlotte that was beat, stripped all his clothes off in the parking garage?
That's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. It was so, wow, I just thought, what if I was in his position, totally helpless, and they had his clothes ripped off and just laying there in your underwear and people are kicking you, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, that band of people dispersed, but they could have quite easily killed him in an instant.
And that is exactly why you need, I feel a person needs to have some way to protect themselves in today's environment.
And if not, you're going to say to yourself, if I'm the victim of an assault, of a sexual attack, of a robbery, if someone's breaking into my house, if I'm not a Second Amendment person, what I'm going to do is test the police to see how long it takes them to get here.
Exactly. And, we've discussed, police don't have a dictate to protect Kelly, to protect Harry, to protect Kathy. They have a dictate to protect the public safety, capital P, public. They can't protect every one of us.
And they couldn't, even the world's greatest police force can't be at all places at all times.
There you go. So we have the responsibility, in my opinion, to protect ourselves, to do something in some way.
The oldest right that I am aware of in European history is the right to self-defense, because within the Catholic theologians, they said that you have the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not murder. If you allow someone to kill you, you're taking part in a murder.
Yeah, I can see that logic. And when you have somebody saying, Hillary Clinton saying, the Second Amendment does not guarantee you the right to defend yourself with a gun.
Nuts.
Nuts. Absolutely insane. And I will take your guns away. I will make sure you cannot have a gun.
I'm not to get into this topic, but the last couple of videos that I've seen from her, I'm wondering her mental health. She just, her eyes are bugging out and she's screaming and everything. But anyway, all right, I want to know what the connection is. If we're the worst burglary area in the country per capita, what's the connection in your mind between burglary, drugs, and the Second Amendment?
Totally direct. It's a linear connection. People that are on meth, which we have a very, very high concentration of meth labs and meth usage in the Southwest. The only most important thing on their mind is, where do I get the next piece of meth? Meth is fairly inexpensive. They will steal. I have a friend whose garden furniture was stolen off their front porch in Mesilla.
They should have had it in the backyard.
There you go. Should have been locked up in the garage, right? What a temptation. So when you have the high amount of drug traffic that goes through this area, because we're right at the intersection of 25 and 10, the interstates, we're 35, 40 minutes from Mexico, which we know produces large volumes of drugs to sell in the United States, you're going to have high crime, burglaries. They don't care. I mean, taking garden furniture, they will steal anything if they can get $2 for it. They have pulled the fuses out of my outdoor fuse boxes just to get what they can get for those fuses. It's so, Second Amendment, would I shoot somebody for taking my fuses? Of course not. Would I shoot somebody who has an axe in their hand or who has a gun pointed at me and is in my house at 2 a.m.? I know they're not there to sell me Avon, Kelly. They're there to hurt me. I'm going to do it.
The famous castle doctrine, that a man's home or a woman's home is her castle, and you have the right to defend that up to the point of death. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, here with Harry Stryker from Stryker's World. The address and phone number again?
415B South Valley Drive, 523-2424.
And you are doing these training sessions, et cetera, in the gun range. How often do these things happen?
Kelly, we do our concealed carry classes once a month. And we will do private lessons. If people just call, we can schedule it.
Do any liberals get guns?
I sell a lot of guns to Democrats, Kelly. And so, you know what, for Kelly, sometimes it's just pleasure shooting. They like to compete. They do target shooting.
But it's sometimes it's people are drawing the obvious conclusion. It's dangerous out there.
Yes. Yes. They want to protect themselves.
AM Massachusetts 1450, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in 805-6180 to text on KOBE. We'll be right back with Harry Stryker. We're going to get into another area that is, might make you a little uncomfortable, the question of trafficking humans for sex that's coming through this area. We're here with Harry Stryker now. Harry, you mentioned to me something that I was not really, I hadn't really thought of it. This area as a sex trafficking area. Go ahead and tell us about that.
Well, Kelly, this is a, there are a large number of U.S. attorneys in Las Cruces that deal only with human trafficking. Sex trafficking, of course, bringing illegal people over from Mexico, coyotes, things like that, where they leave them in trucks and let them die. But the one of the saddest things is the number of girls that are kidnapped all over the United States and brought here and or are kidnapped here and sent all over the United States to be used as, you know, prostitutes against their will, of course. These girls are anywhere from 13, 14 years old up to 19, because at 18 or 19, you're getting way too old for what these people want in a sex partner. So it's FBI has people dedicated just to human trafficking in Las Cruces, the U.S. Attorney's Office just to human trafficking. Does anyone ever wonder, this city has 100,000 people, roughly, why we have DEA, FBI, Homeland Security, ICE, every major government agency is stationed here in force. HIDA, the High Intensity Drug Enforcement Agency in Las Cruces. All of them are stationed here. Are you going to find them? Nope. They're in buildings that are not marked, and they're not hiding them. They just don't have a mark on them. They don't have a sign, welcome to, you know, the U.S. Attorney's Office. The federal threat level is so high right now, you cannot go into those buildings. If you go there to see someone, you knock on the door, they come out, and they say they'll come out and meet you.
Let's go into the threat level a little bit. What is the threat level measured? What is it based on? What factors into it?
Terrorism acts, things like the pipe bombs in New York City, the guy they caught in New Jersey that was a part of that.
I just want to point out that the guy that was in the mall, who was the supposed lone wolf that was an ISIS fan and was stabbing people, he was shot by an off-duty cop. And I'm thinking, I just am thinking this over and over again. We need to separate the idea that guns are inherently dangerous. They're not TNT. They're not radioactive. A gun, if properly carried and handled, is never dangerous per se.
No. And you're absolutely right. My example in our concealed carry classes is if I were to place a loaded firearm on a table and walk away from it for 50 years, it would never kill anyone. It's like saying cars kill people. Guns don't kill people. It's the person that's holding the gun that is irresponsible that causes, it's like saying pencils misspell words. Spoons make people fat. You know, people that overeat. The gun is only an instrument that was designed for specific purposes. The majority of the people that come to my store buy guns not for personal protection as much as for going out to the shooting range and shoot. They will use the gun for personal protection if necessary, but they get competent with it by going to competitions and having that sort of recreational activities with them. And I loved, I read in a paragraph, it's real quick, it's real short. People would love to go, the anti-gunners in this country would love to go to the time when there was no guns in the world. When that time happened, force ruled physical strength. Women were grapes to be plucked. Laws were disregarded. That time was called the Dark Ages.
Mm-hmm.
Want to go back?
Well, you can't go back.
Not now, no.
You can't unring a bell, but we're in the Second Amendment age. We might as well make the best of it. Now, about the sex assault, or the sex trafficking, how bad is it here?
I can't quote any statistics, Kelly, but let's just say the fact that there are 7 U.S. attorneys here that only deal with sex trafficking crimes. 7 in a city of 100,000 people. That has to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
It is off the charts compared to other parts of the country.
Now, I have a friend at the DA's office texted me. He was listening. And he's disagreeing with some of the statistics. I said, send me what you have. So he says LCPD handled 162 sexual offenses last year and 160 in 2014. And in 2013, Third District Court, 137 sexual assault charges resulted in conviction or guilty. And so anyway, but I've got to do some more research on this. And maybe the next time that you come on, we can go over what the Department of Justice says.
Yeah, I'll bring their printed statistics with me.
All right, so let's take a break here. We're lucky to have Harry and Harry Stryker here. He owns Stryker's World, and it's a first-class gun shop and training center. It's got the only indoor shooting range. And Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450. We'll be right back.
AM
And folks, it is 7:54, and we do have a call. Thanks for the call to the the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Sorry to call again, Kelly. This is Jim again.
Yeah, go ahead.
Running, you know,
Jim,
kind of over a barrel here.
Jim,
let's hypothetically say that you obey.
Jim, hold on. We're almost out of time, so just real fast.
Okay, he almost got you over a barrel here. If you carry into a zone that's declared non-gun zone, and if for whatever reason you use it, you do protect somebody, then you're arrested and prosecuted. Once you're arrested and prosecuted, now you've got a record. Guess what? You lose your right to carry the gun.
Good point. Thanks, Jim. All right, folks. Sorry, but we got 3 minutes left. Harry, you had a reaction to those statistics that were texted to me.
My reaction, Kelly, is those were sexual crimes. That's not how rape is classified.
Okay.
It's an assault.
Well, we're going to have to I'll have to get the DA's office and police force and everything, get their response on this stuff. But I got to see
the
Department of Justice records and see what they say. But let me ask you about this. You see where someone has gone to someplace and there's been, and this is on everybody's mind, a terrorist attack. And like you say, in Orlando, a guy comes in, one shooter, and just mows down person after person after person. It didn't have to end that way.
Yeah, I would hope, if you look back to there, everyone forgets the third plane in the 9/11 attack, where the people on the plane actually busted into the pilot's area, and the plane went down, and they all died.
Let's roll.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's take them down. So that's what I'm saying. Have some intestinal fortitude, America. Stand up to these guys.
But Second Amendment, I mean, if you had more law-abiding citizens caring, you'd have less crimes.
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? As soon as you say no guns in this theater, where are you going to go? And if you say everyone in this theater is armed, I'm thinking nobody's coming in there. And Kelly, no law-abiding citizens who get a concealed carry permit go out and break the law and create these crimes that we see. That doesn't happen. They're law-abiding citizens. They want to protect themselves. They don't use the gun offensively. They use it for protection.
And the state with the highest number of gun murders is California, and they've got about, with 1,220, they've got the most stringent gun laws.
Working pretty good, isn't it? Just like our war on drugs and terrorism.
All right. So any concluding thoughts for the listeners?
Well, thank you for tuning in. Hopefully we stimulated some conversation with you. I'd love to see you down at the store, even if it's just to say hi, check out what your options are for personal protection. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to visit with all your listeners.
Thanks, Harry. And we're going to have Harry back on soon. Folks, I just want to thank you for, as Harry says, for tuning in. But a lot of stuff going on out there. And we've got shootings of black people and we're trying to figure out if they're justified. We've got continuous terrorist attacks, lone wolves, and people that are plugged into international groups, I guess. But we've got stuff going on here, as Harry pointed out. Got a lot more crime out there than you realize. And Harry and I agreed on off the air that he was going to come back. We're going to do a show just on how to be safer, how to protect yourself, how to know your circumstances, what to do in situations when things appear to be taking a turn for the worse, escalating and such. So anyway, hope you have a good weekend. Got a little bit of rain last night. Hopefully there is more rain coming around the corner. We need it. Do a rain dance if you know anything about how to pull one of those off. But have a great weekend, and we'll be back and got some more riveting shows coming up. I'll take you out with some Duke Ellington. Have a great weekend. Try to relax a little bit. Upper Manhattan Medical Group. I don't know why they named the song that, but it's a hell of a song. Take care. Ciao.